We're so glad to be able to do this. Now, I want to ask a serious question right off the bat. You don't have to answer, obviously, but who has faced some kind of suffering or tragedy in their life? Probably most of us. And various levels, different things happen. Now, despite, you may have seen this book, I don't know, Joel Osteen has a book called Every Day is a Friday. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that, because Monday seems to happen pretty often. And we seem to experience the difficult days and times in our lives. And despite our best efforts or our wishes, we seem to encounter suffering, tragedy, and bad things. And as we approach the cross during this Lent season, I want to look first at the suffering of Jesus and what this might mean for our lives. Just before the crucifixion, there's a passage in Matthew 26, and Pastor Matt actually read this one last week. And I want to look at it again. Matthew 26, 36 to 39. Jesus went with them to an olive grove called Gethsemane and said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Now, despite his willingness to go to the cross, we knew that Jesus was willing to go to the cross. He would go to the cross. He wasn't some crazy lunatic who enjoyed the suffering and enjoyed the pain. He didn't want the physical suffering, the spiritual suffering that he knew was coming. His human side understood that this was not going to be pleasant. And he actually desired on some level to avoid the cross if it was possible, even though he was willing to go to the cross. He wasn't insane. He knew this was not going to be a pleasant experience. And I just think, looking at Jesus in those moments, he had the power to avoid the cross. He could have chosen not to face the cross. He could have called down legions of angels who would have rescued him and saved him from that suffering. And I think if we put ourselves in that situation, you know, there's situations we face that we can't control and there's nothing we can do about it. But if you knew that you were going to have to experience something like the cross, and you knew you could choose to avoid it, how many of us would choose to avoid it? And that's not a bad thing, it's just human nature, right? We do not choose willingly to suffer most of the time. Jesus could have avoided the cross, but he chose not to, because he knew what needed to be done. Beyond going to the cross, he knew that he had to go to the cross alone. This was not something someone else could do for him. This was not something he could do with other people. And as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, even the disciples were not able to support him fully. Their human side let them down. They were weak. Peter abandoned him at the last moment. So we wonder, why did Jesus go to the cross? Knowing he could have chosen to avoid it, knowing the difficulties that he was going to face. But the author of Hebrews writes this in Hebrews 12:2, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So why did Jesus suffer willingly? Because he knew that it was necessary. He knew that that's what it would take to defeat sin and to defeat death. And he was willing to obey the Father to the very end, even though it meant his own suffering. And he was able to do it because he saw the joy set before him. He knew that the suffering was temporary, but joy would be eternal. He was able to see beyond the moment to what would happen, what the result of the cross and the resurrection would be. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And commentator says this, here writ large is the perspective of faith. This is referring to Jesus on the cross, which is sure of what we hope for, however improbable it may seem in light of present circumstances. And though the cross may seem strange, it wasn't out of the pattern of Jesus' life. Though it may seem difficult to wrap our minds around, Jesus' life was actually a life of suffering when you think about it. Jesus died penniless. He had no retirement plan. He had no savings. He never owned a home. His friends left him in the moments that he needed them. One of his closest friends, who had spent years with him, betrayed him in the worst possible way at the last moment, again, when he needed his friends. He was rejected by crowds at times. He was rejected by individuals. He was rejected by the religious and political leaders of his time. He did not, by any means, live an easy life. And the cross was the culmination of a life of suffering, not the only thing that he suffered in his life. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus is teaching the crowds and he brings a hard teaching and many of the crowd get up and leave. And he asks his disciples, are you going to leave me too? So we know that Jesus felt that rejection from people, and it wasn't just something that he was able to totally bypass, though he was God. He still felt those things. The prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus hundreds of years before he lived on earth. And Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. And those prophecies of Isaiah are called the suffering servant songs, as they spoke of Jesus, that he would be a suffering servant. That was the life and the ministry that he was called to live. And of course, there was moments of deep joy in amongst all of that too. But if Jesus lived a life of suffering, it isn't the biggest logical leap to assume that followers of Jesus may also suffer. Now, we have to look and differentiate between two kinds of suffering, because there's suffering that all people face, because we are human, we live in a fallen world, and everyone faces some types of suffering and tragedy, not just because they're followers of Jesus, right? These are things like war, or famine, or sickness, illness, death, abuse, accidents. These things can and do happen to anyone and everyone, whether they're Christians and followers of Jesus or not. These are just things that happen because we live in a fallen world, not even for any particular reason. But there's also suffering that happens specifically because people choose to follow Jesus, called persecution. And, you know, in North America, that tends to be less severe, but it can be anything from being slighted by people. You could be rejected by friends. You may lose out on job opportunities. Some parts of the world, it is fully to physical abuse, torture, imprisonment, death, depending on where followers of Jesus are in the world. So there is suffering for and because of being a follower of Christ that happens. But either way, whichever type of suffering we face, it isn't always the most exciting topic. It's not the thing that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the joys. We want to talk about the fun things. We want to just, you know, sometimes not think about the bad things. And Jonathan Smith says this, we are an Easter Sunday movement, not a Good Friday movement. Meaning, we like talking about Easter morning more than we like talking about Good Friday. But we need both of them. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter morning. So even though we enjoy talking about Easter morning more, we have to talk about Good Friday as well. And in the scriptures, we see that a time of difficulty and suffering often precedes a breakthrough. All you have to do is look at some of the stories in the Bible. Moses was a shepherd in the wilderness for 40 years before he led the people of Israel out of slavery. The Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years before they went into the promised land. King David was hunted by Saul and spent years in the wilderness before he became the king of Israel. Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt before he became the prime minister of Egypt and ended up rescuing his family. Jesus had to suffer and die before he rose again. And if you go through the scriptures, there's many more stories and examples. It is very common that people in the Bible had to suffer and go through a difficult time, a wilderness experience, before they saw God break through in their lives and in their stories. Jesus in the scriptures set an example that we most likely will have difficult times in our lives. We most likely will suffer something. And Jonathan Smith again says, if anyone tries to sell you a theology of all wins and no losses, don't buy it. Because it's not true, right? We know that in life. Again, we want to talk about the positives. We want to talk about the wins. But losses come along in life too. Griefs and sorrows come along in life. If you look at sports, it's very common that you'll read stories of championship teams or players. Before they win, they often endure a series of tough losses. In most examples, not just team sports, but individual sports as well, they have to go through the difficulty, they have to endure a number of tough losses first before they win. Those difficult times come first. And it's often the case in our lives, right? We don't, you know, just suddenly appear as fully formed, mature people. We go through training, we go through difficult times, we go through experiences that shape us and mold us to be who God wants us to be, and that takes time. And even if we don't like it, we have to admit that we experience losses and suffering in life. James says this, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He doesn't say if you face trials, he says whenever you face trials, assuming that we are going to face trials. And much as Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, James says, consider it pure joy whenever you endure trials. So how and why can we consider it joy when we're enduring trials, when we're going through difficult times? It's because if we allow Jesus to work in our lives, suffering can almost always have a redemptive purpose. Yes, bad things happen. Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes we may never know why. We may not have answers on this side of heaven. But it is often in our deepest pain and our deepest wounds that Jesus brings redemption out of that, and he can use the difficult things that have happened to us, around us, for his glory. Dan Allender, an author, speaker, counselor, says this. It's a longer quote, but I want to read it. And I think this is such a helpful quote. He says, we spend most of our life pursuing both necessity and luxury, guided by the presumption that life can be orderly and predictable if we just try hard enough. And that's what our society tells us, isn't it? Like, that's the American dream, the Canadian dream. Just try hard enough, and you can order, control, and predict your life. You can have the house, the vehicle, the retirement savings plan, all of the good stuff, right? That's what our society tells us. And then, tragedy in some form breaks through and awakens us. Tragedy awakens passion in a way that times of calm and blessing, pleasure and joy cannot. The word passion comes from a Latin root that means suffering. It implies intense emotion that energizes a person to move. We are moved to act when we are in pain. When we know joy, we may dance and sing, but over time, joy brings the heart to rest. Tragedy, on the other hand, moves the heart to act. All passion is founded on pain, grown through risk and marked by the decisions we make in the face of tragedy. I think that's such an amazing explanation of how suffering, difficulty, tragedy can work in our lives. And have you ever noticed that the cross, the experience that Jesus went through, is often called the Passion of Christ? That word passion comes from the word suffering. So you can interchange that. The suffering of Christ is the passion of Christ, because his suffering was necessary in order to reveal his deepest passion, which was and is the rescuing of people, victory over sin and death, salvation for humankind. His suffering is his passion. Interchange the two words. Some of you might know that we moved from Merritt last year, and I'm not going to get into the whole story today, but there was a number of different circumstances in our lives that were painful. And exactly like this quote says, they woke us up, Michelle and I, our family, and it woke us up to move spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, in ways that we probably would not have done if we hadn't have had those experiences. And it's not to say that we wanted those experiences or that we would have chosen them, but things happen. And it is in the midst of those moments when, if we allow him, God often moves and speaks to us in ways that we are not as open to when we're experiencing times of peace and joy and rest. And those are certainly good times as well. We enjoy those times when they happen. I think it was Billy Graham who said this. He said that the view from the mountaintop is beautiful, but fruit is grown in the valleys, meaning that character is developed and grown often in the difficult times, the experiences that we wouldn't have chosen. Most of us wouldn't choose pain. It's not natural for us to knowingly choose pain. But we can thank God for his work in our lives during those times of difficulty and pain, because it's often when we come out on the other side of those experiences that, though we may not want to relive those things, though we may not have chosen those things, we can look back and say, because of this, I am here. If this had not happened, I would not be where I am today. Though I went through that, Jesus brought healing. He brought redemption. Maybe you're in the midst of that difficult time right now, and you can't see that at this point. But God is bringing healing. He is bringing good things, and he does bring good things out of our pain. And it's often, it seems, that it's out of our deepest pains and woundings that God brings redemption to those specific areas. And, you know, it might seem counterintuitive, but it's not surprising that people who were abused become counselors. People who were wounded in particular ways often turn that around. God turns that around and uses them in the area of their hurt and wounding to help other people who have experienced the same things. Because God takes the bad and he redeems it for good. Though we may not have wanted those things to happen, God didn't want those things to happen, but in his grace, he is able to turn those things to good and use those things in our lives for his glory, for redemption, and for the healing of ourselves and other people. It's amazing how God does that in your lives. And I know we would prefer to skip the suffering and just get to the good stuff, right? We don't want to go through those things, but it rarely works that way. So I want to ask, you don't have to answer this now, but just think about it. As you look back on your life, the difficulties that you face, maybe you're in that place of difficulty right now. Just think about this. How has God gotten your attention in the past? Was there a specific moment in your life where you felt like God woke me up? I was maybe comfortable, complacent, stuck, didn't know what to do, and God woke me up. And unfortunately for us humans, it seems to be those things often involve pain. Because if we're experiencing joy, peace, comfort, and pleasure, why would we leave? Right? We would prefer just to stay there. And if that's all life was, we probably just would stay there. And we will get to do that in heaven. But sometimes God has to take us out of those quiet moments and even the joy and the peace and the pleasure. He sometimes has to take us out of that space in order to get us to do something else. Because we need to be somewhere else, doing something else with certain people. I often think of it sometimes like a giant puzzle. And you have all of these pieces. Like, I imagine God is this building this giant puzzle. He has the whole human race. He's got the earth. And he's got, like, you know, this however many billion piece puzzle. And God has to take and move the pieces around. This piece may be over here, but God's like, I need that piece over here. And that means that I'm going to have to move this piece and put it over here. And I'm going to have to take this piece and move it there. And God moves us. He needs different people in different areas doing different things. And sometimes, though God may not have caused that, he will use the circumstances of our lives to help us move in the direction that he wants us to go. And he will reshape our lives in order to follow him. But we have to be open to listening to him do that, because we have free will. We get to make choices. So I'd encourage you, especially if you look back in your life and you think, man, God took that circumstance and turned it into this. If he did that before, he can do it again. And if you're in that difficult place right now, though it may sound trite at the moment, God can and does and will redeem those circumstances as you walk with him. You may not see the results until days, weeks, months, or even years down the road, but God is working. And he is up to something good. Amen. And though life doesn't always make sense, Jesus reveals himself to us often more clearly than ever during times of suffering, because we are woken up, we are open to Jesus sometimes at those times in ways we're not in other portions of our lives. Hebrews 4:14-15 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And that's the good news, is that Jesus never abandons his disciples. He never leaves us. Jesus has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. Paul writes that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. No spiritual powers, no physical powers, no circumstances. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I want to close with this quote. Author, speaker named Terry Bone says, during times when things aren't going well, God has access to parts of our soul that are normally closed off and he has a chance to wake us up and help us rewrite the script. The best stories usually have a difficult middle portion that the protagonist has to face, right? You know, you read a good story, you watch a good movie. If everything was just, you know, people sitting in orchards and paddling around on boats in a lake, like, fun, but that doesn't make for a good story or a good movie, just watching people sit on a beach doing nothing, right? The best stories have some sort of inciting circumstance, a difficulty, a challenge that the main characters must overcome, a difficult situation that they have to face. And it's the story of them facing, working through, and in Hollywood, almost always overcoming the difficulty. But in life, we get to do the same thing. We get to face the difficult circumstances and with Jesus come through them. But stories have different parts of them that we have to walk through. And I want to read that quote again. It says, "During times when things aren't going well, God has access to parts of our soul that are normally closed off, and he has a chance to wake us up and help us rewrite the script." So today, whatever part of the story you're in, we have different chapters in our lives that have beginnings, middles, and ends. Our lives have beginnings, middles, and ends. Whatever portion of the story you're in right now, maybe you're in a beginning, maybe you're in a difficult middle, maybe you're in a time where you're coming out of a difficult portion and you see that victory. Maybe you're right in the middle of that difficult portion and you don't yet see what God is doing. You don't yet see how God is going to redeem this. But I just want to encourage you that with Jesus, he can and does bring good out of the suffering in our lives. He can and does bring redemption. And though it doesn't always look like it, we can rest assured that God is always up to something good. He is always doing good. God is not capable of doing wrong or bad or evil. And he is working in our lives for his glory and his good, as well as our good. He is bringing us along in the story as we walk with him. So with Jesus, for the joy set before us, we can go forward. And I just want to close this morning with prayer. And again, whatever portion of the story you're in, Jesus is speaking to you and he has something for you. Lord, I just pray as we come to you this morning, that for each and every person here, for those watching online, for friends, family, loved ones, Lord, whatever story you're writing, whatever story we are walking out with you right now, Lord, would you be at the center of that? We invite you in. Whether we're in a time of peace and joy, just help us to enjoy that, Lord, and just to exult in your glory, your peace. The times where we get to rest and enjoy and relax, refresh, recover, we need those times in our lives, Lord. If we're right in the middle of a difficult season, if we've faced a tragedy, we're right in the middle of suffering, Lord, be there. Be the comfort that we need. Be the support that we want to have. May we trust you. May we walk in faith and not by sight, knowing that you are good, even when it doesn't seem like it and even when it doesn't feel like it. You are good. You will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, if we've come out of a difficult time of suffering, maybe we're at the point where we can start to look back on that time and see, though I wouldn't have chosen that, God is and can and will bring something good out of it. Whether it's the refining and testing of our own faith and character, whether it is something that we can offer to other people who have experienced similar circumstances, who are experiencing similar circumstances. Lord, we can see that you can use those difficult times for your glory and for your redemption in the people around us. Maybe we're able to look back on many of those stories and see how in every circumstance God has been able to work despite the difficulties, despite the suffering. Lord, as we prepare for Easter, we look forward to Sunday morning, but we also embrace Good Friday. We look forward to the stories of joy and resurrection, but we also realize that the stories of suffering are part of life. Lord, would you work? Speak to everyone in whatever portion of the story they're in. Do your work, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.